the generosity of my life then wanting to be a blessing to others. You know, what's key in this verse, in this whole passage really, is the word others. Filled with Jesus, Philippians 1:2, filled with Christ. And notice this, then the focus then on others. Again, generosity in action.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Live in the Light, or hey, maybe welcome for the very first time. Live in the Light is a radio ministry that intentionally and even urgently seeks radical transformation in our lives, the revelation of God's Word. Put simply, we believe in the open and unashamed teaching from God's Word, and we are super glad that you're here today. We're so glad that you've caught up with us in the middle of our series that we're calling Citizens of Heaven, which is a phrase from God's Word in Philippians chapter 3. Why that title? Well, because this series takes us verse by verse through that amazing book, the book of Philippians. And today's message takes us to the front of chapter 2, and in particular, looking at that key phrase, complete my joy. What is it that makes Paul so filled with joy? Well, we're going to find out today as we dive into God's Word together. So let's turn things over to Pastor Robbie with today's message.
I'm telling you, do not give up on what the Holy Spirit can do. And the power of having one mind and the same love and together in the Spirit of God and minds renewed for what He can do. It's pretty awesome. What happens? Eyes set on heaven. See what's happening here? It's the eyes that are set in heaven. It's when we understand our citizenship, is when Christ has forgiven us. Who are we then not to forgive? And then we can join together in that moment to fight the real enemy. What happens when we humble ourselves before the Lord? The unity found again in the Lord Jesus Christ as our root and foundation becomes the gospel. Question, what does pursuing unity look like for you right now? What relationship has the Holy Spirit brought to mind right now? What difficulty has the Holy Spirit brought to mind right now? What conflict? What sin? Again, what situation? What person? Paul says, are you saved in Christ? You've encouragement in Christ? You've comfort and love? You share and commune with the Holy Spirit? You have received the affection and sympathy of Jesus Christ? Well, then complete my joy and pursue unity. It's hard, isn't it? It's hard. But it's not supposed to be us ultimately who gets it done. It's the Lord in us. Secondly, put on humility. Put on humility. Verse 3, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. So notice right away here, the two greatest enemies of unity are selfish ambition and conceit. And this is where God's word starts to get surgical on us. Selfish ambition, what is that? Self-fulfillment or self-advancement. It's almost impossible to have true unity with these in place. When the person is only seeking to serve their own purposes or their own advancement or their own ambition, particularly in the setting of a church or believers. Think of the person serving in the church in some position. And then someone else comes along who's maybe more gifted or better suited for that position. And the person operating in selfish ambition in that moment, they turn bitter. And then they, if they don't check their sin in their spirit, they immediately begin to sow seeds of disunity. Why do they do that? Because their selfish ambition has been threatened. Their own advancement is endangered. And because it's about them, they then want to protect them and and protect self, and they start to sow division to discredit and divide people against another person that they might think that they may be propped forward and preventing others from being forward so that they won't be able to take away what they think is theirs. It's a sick pattern of the sin in all of our hearts. Think of the person in conversation day after day that inevitably brings the conversation back to themselves. The person who pretends to listen, they're like, yeah, But they don't hear a word you say. All they're doing is planning their next move of how to direct the conversation back to their own self-interest. Are you done? Okay, now it's back to me. It's incredible. What is that? It's a form of selfish ambition. It's self-advancement and every situation trying to make sure that you're putting ourselves in the place again where we think this will draw us the most attention. In a ministry setting, again, this is killer. Just think of how selfish ambition has killed leader after leader after leader in the Bible and beyond. I just wrote down a few names. Korah, his rebellion. Samuel's sons, their horrific impurity. Saul, even Solomon. Jeroboam, Rehoboam, both. Uzzah, Hezekiah, Nebuchadnezzar, James and John. Want to be the greatest, want to be the greatest. Let's call fire down from heaven, Jesus. Judas, Herod, struck down, eaten by flesh-eating worms. Selfish ambition. No wonder Paul says, do nothing from selfish ambition, a killer of unity. Notice the further problem of selfish ambition. It leads to, verse 3, it leads to conceit. Fascinating to me here. The Greek for conceit combines two words. In the Greek, it's kinodoxia. Kino, empty, doxa, glory, empty glory. Conceit here is empty glory. Stop, think. The pursuit of my own conceit is an empty glory. We convince ourselves it's worth something. We deceive ourselves in the process. Stop, okay, this is wisdom moment right now, okay? Okay, the phone's ringing. It's a moment of wisdom right now. When we are filled with our own conceit, the reality is we are filling ourselves with an empty glory. It appears to be glorious. It appears to have value. It appears that we win. It appears that we're going to have success and have attention and fame. It appears that it's the way to go. But in the end, conceit is empty glory. It's a sham. It's fraudulent. It's fake. Stop right now in your life. When we try to put on this front and conceited, filled with self, we are consuming our lives with a glory that is empty. Do you think at the end of your days that Jesus Christ and standing in his glory will be impressed with your bank account, will be impressed with your position at work, will be impressed with your intellect, will be impressed with your physique, will be impressed with your wardrobe? Do you really, really think at the end of the day, standing before Jesus Christ, you can bring all your conceit to the table and be like, look, Jesus? And what will he say? Not much. Because Jesus is about the poor in spirit and about the meek. Jesus is about those who mourn over sin. Jesus fills and blesses those who know they are nothing apart from him. This is the person that is pursuing true glory, because at that moment, it is the glory of Jesus Christ in reality and not their own. But notice, when I pursue selfish ambition, man, if we're not careful, conceit quickly follows. And that's why then, look at the rest of verse 3. But in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. I remember years and years ago learning in this text, studying it. I specifically remember because I remember studying it for a wedding ceremony I was performing. I just loved to find it. In the first century, humility was despised by culture. There was no virtue in humility. It was seen as the lowly. Like, why would you ever humble yourself in that way in terms of a biblical understanding of humility? Because it's just who would do that? It's so terrible. It's so lowly in the bad sense of that word. It was just frowned upon, looked down upon, despised. In fact, it is said by scholars that Jesus was the first person to hold up humility as the true virtue that it is. Jesus comes along and says, no. Don't take the front seat, man. Take the back. Jesus comes along and says, you want to be great? Then be last. Don't be first. Be last. Jesus comes along and says, man, you want to really live? Lose your life. Everyone's just scratching their heads going, what is this guy? What is this all about? And Jesus is like, it's all about life. True life. But in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. And look at that. Notice what humility does, okay? You say, am I pursuing humility? Am I putting on humility? Well, then ask yourself this question. Am I counting others more significant than myself? And what does that mean, count others more? It's really, am I placing greater worth on others than myself? Am I placing greater worth in others than myself? Notice how contrary this is to our sinful flesh. Because what? Our sinful flesh, as we've heard already, our sinful flesh wants our own significance. I'm significant. Draw attention to me. Pay attention to me. I'm significant. But notice, I want to make sure we go back to this, right? The imperative of putting on humility back to the indicative, are you alive in Jesus Christ? Have you any encouragement in Christ? Have you the comfort and love? Are you participation in the Holy Spirit of God? If these things are happening in your life, then you understand you're rooted in Jesus Christ, and then you want to count others more significant than yourself, because the ultimate example of this is Jesus. By the way, in the context of our passage, Lord willing, next week, verse 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Jesus Christ, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but humbled himself, taking on me, come as servant, and even to the point of death on the cross. I mean, this is our context. Talk about the ultimate example of counting others more significant than himself. That's humility. Let's break it down in our lives right now. Husbands. Husbands are like, great. I know. But honestly, are you counting your wife more significant than yourself? Because that's what humility does. Why would I do that? Because that's what those who are alive in Jesus Christ do. Because they've been given everything in Jesus Christ. Wives, are you counting your husband more significant than yourself? Stop. Tearing him down. It's not helping him or you. Stop cutting him with words. It's not helping him or you. Love him. Respect him. Count him more significant. You're like, I can never do that. You're right, but the Spirit of God in you can. He'll show you small little things. Friends, employees, work colleagues, are you counting others more significant than yourself? Why would I ever do that, Robbie? Because you're alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. And particularly in the context of believers, particularly. That's what this context is right here. Putting on humility because we are alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, Jesus as our preeminent example. So, how can you count others more significant? Who in your life do we need to count more significant? Where in our life can we count others as more significant? The indicative leading to the imperative, pursuing unity, putting on humility, and finally this, practicing generosity. Verse 4, let each of you look not only to his own interests. So just notice that, okay? Notice Paul knows that we got it covered when it comes to our own interests. So he says, look not only to his own interests now, but also this, it's not wrong to care for yourself. It's not wrong to take care of yourself in certain ways, right? So that's right there. It's like, it's assumed. So look not only at your own interests, because you're going to do that. And it's, and in one sense, understandable, but this is, but also to the interests of others. So don't just be about yourself alone. You can be about yourself in terms of take care of them, but look beyond to the interests of others. Why? Well, this is unity and humility in action. This is what it looks like. It's the generosity of my life then wanting to be a blessing to others. You know, what's key in this verse, in this whole passage really, is the word others. Filled with Jesus, Philippians 1:2, filled with Christ. But then notice this, then the focus then on others. Again, generosity in action. What does it look like to have generosity? What does it look like to look to the interests of others? Well, the application really is endless, isn't it? But let's just look at some examples here. There's some really, really minor ones and silly ones. We'll get to some more substantial ones as well. But look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Here's the first one, holding the door. That's representative of everything in life. We come into church. I pray in this place. We're gathered together with believers and, of course, unbelievers as well. I just pray there's just such a sense of just, I want to serve. I want to put myself last. I want other to go forward. It's just such a sense of grace. It's so simple, but then it leads to bigger things, doesn't it, right? Another one, yielding in traffic. Nothing greater than watching people leave our parking lot and fight for the way to get out first. Not that I've ever seen that, to be honest. But I pray that doesn't happen, but that would just be a really, really bad example of everything we're trying to learn today. But then you take that. I mean, think of what road rage is. Road rage is a peculiar thing because we've all felt it one way or another. You're just like, what in the world? Why am I so upset? Like, what is such a big deal? Because really what it is saying, how dare you do that to me? Do you know who I am? Do you know what kind of car I'm driving? Do you know that I was here? You know, I waited. How dare? Isn't it mean what grows through the sinful flesh and people literally take it to the, it's just incredible. What is that then? I am more important than you. So therefore, I deserve to be one car length in front of you. And I will lose it on you if you take my half a second that I'll get to somewhere before I would otherwise. It's really insane, isn't it? And it's the antithesis of everything we're learning in verse 4. Here's another one, practical at home. This may or may not have happened in our house yesterday. Family's over here right now, and the guilty party might be in attendance today as well, all right? But they'll be left unnamed. But isn't interesting? I should have brought a picture, but you have the milk and you pour it out and you're looking at it and you're like, there's at least a drop in there back in the fridge, right? And in that moment, you've just decided the other person coming next is not worth me grabbing a bag and replacing it and cut whatever it is and doing that. It's just, it's incredible how this all works. Bless you, moms. This happens to you probably way more than most. Okay, a little more serious now, okay? Be quick to listen, slow to speak. Why? Well, again, it's amazing the people that just incessantly want to hear themselves talk. There's nothing wrong with a personality that likes to communicate, but you have to be wise enough to know when you're just speaking simply because you want to hear yourself. That's pride. Dominating, grabbing all the attention. Of course, this is biblical. This is right out of James. Caring for others, asking questions, listening, showing genuine interest. That's a very practical, but I think important way of how we look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. I'm constantly expecting people to give to us, but not really expecting to give in return. It's just, there's another one. Seek to understand before you judge. That is really counting others. My mom taught me this all when I was a teenager and young adult. She said, Robbie, it's so much easier to love someone if you seek to understand them. the failure to understand them, you just draw conclusions. You place a label on them. And in that moment, I'm counting myself more significant and I'm not caring about them and loving them and really showing interest. I'm just interested in myself and not necessarily of what has brought them to this point. There's just so many applications we can give. I just sat down before the Lord this week and just said, Lord, what are the ones you want to have this week? Here's some more. Here's a good one. Okay, the context of ministry is very important here. Your passion isn't the only passion. So people come in here and they got something they're super fired up about. Great. But they're so fired up about their thing, they think nothing else matters. That's not Philippians 2:4. It's great. I'm so glad you're fired up what you're fired up about. But you're not the only person in the church. And your thing is the only thing in the church. And you're not the only person in the history of the church with an idea. And it's just this understanding of saying, if you don't get in my lane, then all of a sudden, I'm out of here. How many people? I'm out of here. Why? Because they're not listening to me. Why? Because they go. It's true. I've seen it. Trust me. Literally stomping. Your ministry isn't the only ministry. Context of the church, this is what's happening here in the church of Philippi. Well, we want to start this in evangelism. And well, we want to do this in the Bible study. And we want to make sure we have ministry to our men. And we want to make sure how we have this thing over here happening there. Great. But your ministry isn't the only ministry. It's the attitude of humility. It's working together for the greater purpose. It's amazing how this stuff, like a mindset here, just amazing how much it solves. Here's the attitude of being a servant, Christ-like, and being CEO. I'm completely in charge, domineering. I wanna make all the decisions. This could be in the context of a home, the context of a small group, context of church leadership, context of right now in church, context in a conversation. No, unless I'm in charge, I'm not. That's big. Interest of others. Gratitude is so huge biblically, and we're going to see that in this letter versus entitlement. The entitled person's just like, no, man, I deserve this. Gratitude's like, I can't believe I'm alive. I told you this, I love waking up in the morning sometimes, just be like, breathing, heat is on, roof over our heads, there's some fruit in the fridge. I got some clothes to be able to put on. Wow. Like, you know, family. Wow. Got a church. Wow. You know, it's just, you go through the process and you're just, you know, and it starts to fight against this and it's building into this, you know, the interest of others. I could have written down 500, right? Generosity versus stinginess. Well, this is it, isn't it? Look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. The interest of others. A theme, a mindset of generosity. God help us to be men and women who are generous, looking to the interests of others. I got to end where I started, okay? Or finish again here where we started. Remember, indicative leads to imperative. Are you encouraged? Are you alive in Jesus Christ? Are you strengthened by the love of Jesus Christ? Is the participation, the sharing, the communion of the Spirit of God among you, is the affection of Jesus Christ and his sympathy, do you have this? Is this who you are in the Lord Jesus Christ? Okay, if you are this in the Lord Jesus Christ, and this gives us hope then to be able to fulfill the idea of pursuing unity and pursuing generosity and pursuing humility, okay? Let's just be honest right now, okay? As you go through right now, unity, humility, generosity. Let's just be honest right now. How are we doing? Okay, unity. You're like, not great. Unity. It's been a tough year. You could be like, unity, and you're thinking about the relationships that are all fractured and the things you said and you wish you didn't say and the things going on in your home or work or here at church, whatever it is, and you're like, unity, you're like, I stink. All right, number two, humility. And you're just like, I don't stand a chance. Humility, man, please don't ask my wife, please. That won't go well is what you're thinking in your head. Humility, I stink even more than that when it comes to unity. Well, let's go generosity. I have a few good moments, but man, if you saw the video of my life and my wallet in the last month or my time or my affections and it's, man, this is discouraging, Robbie. I know, I got my own heart to look at every day. But here's what's so encouraging. We're going to sing this in this next song too. It's the line, holiness, ready? Because we're talking about holiness, humility. Holiness is Christ in me. Take that theology right now. It's the gospel. It's the indicative leading to the imperative. Christ in us. He's the one who ultimately produces unity, humility, and generosity. You see? You see? It's the gospel. It's the gospel. Jesus is the one who does it. Our desire for him to do it, our pursuing of him to change, our praying to him, our worshiping of him, and the more we become like the Lord Jesus Christ, and the more we are pursuing unity and putting on humility and practicing generosity. He is the answer. He is the one who allows us to have any chance of seeing this within our lives. Just like the man from this past weekend, his eyes get on Jesus Christ. He repents of his sin and he's broken and a new man. And the result of Christ having full access to his heart is a revelation and a revolution of humility and generosity and of unity within his marriage. It all happens like that because it's the Spirit of God who does it. You see? So you could be like me and say, I stink. And I'd say, yep. Amen. Jesus doesn't. Jesus is awesome. And he's the one who does it in us. So what do? The only thing that we should do, we say, Jesus, we need you. Amen, church? We need you. We need you. Let's pray. Just right now where you are, if you agree with what God's word is saying to you today, you tell Jesus as it applies to your life, Jesus, I need you. I need you for unity in my marriage. I need you for unity in my relationship with my kids, or I need you in unity with people in this church. I need you with unity at my workplace. Jesus, I need you for humility. I'm just not. Maybe you're saying today, Lord, I've been so proud. I've been so stubborn. I need you. He does it. Jesus, I need you for generosity, to look to the interests of others. Why? Well, because holiness is Christ in me. It's not me, it's Christ in me. If you're here today and it's time for you to give your life to Jesus Christ, turn from your sin. Jesus died for all your sin. The gospel is the good news where he came to pay for your sin and mine that we might live forever. You can say and sing today, Jesus, I need you. And as you say that, you say, I believe in you. I repent of my sin. I want to live. I want to live in Jesus Christ. God, may you change lives now. Again, in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to Live in the Light today. If you'd like to hear this message again or any messages in this series, visit us online at liveinthelight.ca. Live in the Light exists to see radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. We believe that through the faithful and passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. Our prayer is as people are impacted by Live in the Light, they will be renewed in mind, reinforced in faith, and resolved in will to live in Jesus Christ. That's all for today. Join us next time at Live in the Light.